So this idea of being where your audience is hanging out and talking, those these are places like Reddit, subreddits or forums or communities, and really digging through and seeing and gathering, like, what are the pain points? How are people talking about their pain points? What are the people in this community willing to spend money on? And what you learn is you can generate product ideas. You can also generate messaging because you have real life examples of how these people are communicating about their problems. And you can get insight into what they buy. They say, oh, I use this software, or I paid for this course, or I read this book. And basically that is the process.
Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast, brought to you by Aventive Academy. I'm your host, Katie Sandell. I'm a brand strategist, designer, creative director, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency based in Austin, Texas, serving clients worldwide. After mastering the art of building a profitable and sustainable design business, I decided to help you achieve the same success. I teach brand graphic and web design business owners how to attract more clients, increase their pricing, and develop design businesses that provide the financial freedom and time flexibility you've always dreamt of. We offer online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, along with our coaching, accelerator, and mastermind high-touch experiences for creatives. You can learn more about starting and growing your design business at aventiveacademy.com. But for now, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. Hello and welcome. I'm going to start this episode by sharing what happened 3 weeks ago in my design business when a previous client reached out saying she needed the color codes for a logo I created in 2016. She said, I'm reopening my chiropractor practice after being closed since 2020, and we need to make signs for the building, but I don't have the color codes. And my first thoughts was, oh no, now I need to find those files and logos and copy paste the color codes, which all takes so much time. And, then I have to send it to her. And all of that for free. I mean, I really am not going to charge her just for sending her, the colors. I could, and I know some designers would, but personally, I'm simply like not going to do that. So I opened the logo file, and this time I used Logo Package Swatch, which is an Illustrator extension that exports the colors for you in one click, the color codes. So I literally just said export colors from this file and got all the color codes. It's unbelievable. It took me seconds and saved me so much time. And my client was super happy to receive the color sheet that they can use. Now, the same company that has the logo package swatch has an extension that helps you export the logos, and it's called Logo Package Express. You know, when you click on file and then save as or export and then save to, save all the logos in color and black and white and grayscale and then JPEG, PNG, AI, like, oh my God, so much work. But this extension does it all in just a couple of clicks again. And the link to it is somewhere in the show notes around this episode. And you can see the video tutorials and all of that. And if you're someone like me who would rather spend time creating logos than exporting them, then I highly recommend you install this extension. With that said, in this episode, I want to welcome Michael, who is the founder of Logo Package, the extensions I just talked about. So Michael, welcome. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do?
Sure, thank you. Yeah, my name is Michael Bruni-Groth. And I have a degree in graphic design. I did design for agencies for about 4 years here in Chicago, where I live. And after those first 4 years, I decided to go freelance. And I was doing what a lot of your listeners do, trying to find freelance clients and that sort of thing. I ended up having two nice contracts that basically provided me with two entry-level salaries, like, together. So that was pretty much all of the freelance work that I needed to do. And eventually one of those companies went, they started sort of losing clients and things like that. So I didn't want to get into a situation where I could no longer be paid by them. So I decided to leave that contract. And it left me with a lot of free time, but I had saved up enough money that that was okay. And I started dabbling in product design. I'm happy to tell you more about that later. But yeah, I started this product business and now sort of finding problems for logo designers that I can automate and fix is how I spend most of my working time. And the rest, I'm just trying to stay warm here in Chicago.
Yeah, well, welcome and thank you for being here on the show. Can you tell us, when did you start freelancing and how long were you a freelancer?
Okay, so I started freelancing in 2016 and I started with basically no real experience about what that would be like. I mean, I had a few freelance clients here and there while I was working full-time. But I kind of did the standard get on Upwork, try to find work through there. And then there were also talent agencies in Chicago where you could just give them your resume and they would find work for you. So I found a job working with the American Medical Association here in Chicago. And also I was working as a creative director for an agency in San Diego that primarily did Kickstarter and Indiegogo crowdfunding campaigns. So those were my two primary sources of income with the occasional odd project. And I stopped working with any clients whatsoever in 2020 when I decided to make the shift full-time to the product business that I had started called Logo Package.
And when did you exactly start the Logo Package? Because I believe I heard of it even before 2020, right?
Yeah, so Logo Package Express, which is the exporting product that you described, that was my first real product idea. And in order for me to get started, I don't know how to write the type of code that you would need to make, you know, software and extensions for Adobe products. So I kind of put together all of my knowledge and all of my little tricks around efficiently exporting logo packages. And I released an alpha version of my product, which had the really simple name, not really, of the Logo Package Automator Bundle. And yeah, that was just a bunch of scripts and actions and templates and tutorials that you had to all like put together in order to do this process. But I launched that in October of 2018 after spending all summer working on this, you know, the marketing for it, the build-up, building an email list. And when I launched in 2018, that first really simple alpha version, I had a whopping email list of 36 people, I think. And I got two sales on the first day, which at the time I was kind of devastated by. I thought it would be, you know, like half my email list or something like that. But turns out that's a pretty good conversion rate. So I was, you know, retroactively, I'm happy with that result. But I actually didn't really get any more sales for the next few months. And I was about to give up until something kind of interesting happened. But that was, yes, October of 2018 was when I really first started this adventure. But I was still working with both of my freelance clients at the time.
Now I'm caught up in that. What is that? That you mentioned something interesting happened. What did happen?
Yeah. So I kind of was over it. I kind of thought, well, you know, this was fun, but I should really focus on growing my freelance business. And it was the holidays, it was around Christmas. And I thought I'd have like one last Hail Mary, and I decided to have a holiday sale. And during the holiday sale, I might have made like two more sales. But I woke up, I think it was like Christmas Eve morning, and I had a message, a Facebook message from someone in India who really liked the product, but they couldn't afford it. So they had said, I know two or three pretty big influencers in the design space, and I'd be happy to introduce you to them. And I really like your product. I can't afford it. Would you be willing to give me your product for free? In exchange, I'll connect you with these people. And, you know, I had no idea if this person was telling the truth or not. And when you first start a business, it takes a while to overcome that idea that you should never give anything away for free, and that like you should always be charging for everything all the time. So at that point, it was a risk to me, but I said, okay, whatever, I'll give it to him for free. We'll see what happens. And I shortly thereafter received an email in my inbox from Ian Padgett, who I know has been on the show with you. And he said, hey, I'm really interested in your product. I have the largest active Facebook group for logo designers. I'm ranked number one on Google for the term logo files. Do you have an affiliate program? And I didn't really know if I had an affiliate program, but I said, yeah, absolutely. Sure. I totally do. Let's work that out.
You know, it's funny because I know Ian since 2015 or 16. Okay. And that's basically how I heard about the logo package. It's just prior to this year, somehow I never got to it, but I did see it in his Facebook community. I saw it on his Twitter. And that's why I feel like I know about this product and like I know you for many, many years.
Right. He's been a great partner. And obviously he was the first partner. So, you know, I've been on his podcast and we've talked, and, you know, I always attribute that early success to, in great part, to his help. But once I connected with Ian, and it did turn out that the platform that I sell my products through did have an affiliate feature. So once I got that established, Ian was graceful enough to introduce me to more people. You know, I think the next person I really got in touch with was Jacob Cass from Just Creative. And once I started, well, after Ian started promoting it, I made my first $1,000 in sales. And at that point, it was like, okay, I know that people want this logo exporting product that I've created. I just don't have the audience. I just don't have the eyeballs on it. But these other people do. And now that I know I have an affiliate program, like, I can use them and to tell their audiences. So at that point, I decided that it was worth it to invest some money into making this a real product. The scripts and actions and things from the beginning, they worked well enough, you know, but I wanted it to be a proper extension with a user interface where you click buttons and you see what happens. So that was the next phase of this journey, really, was going from this little alpha version that I had and some good word of mouth to really having a proper product and a proper launch for that product as well.
Yeah. And can you tell us, how did you even come up with a product? Like, how did you come up with that idea to create an extension like that?
Right. Yeah. So that is the most important sort of lesson of this whole thing. When that contract that I had seemed like it was something I needed to get out of, I had initially thought, okay, I'm going to take this time off and I'm going to focus on becoming sort of this unicorn web developer / web designer. And I'll be able to not only design the websites, but also code them. And that'll make me so much more money and I'll be more valuable. So I started learning JavaScript and that sort of stuff. But the first thing that really caught my eye was this book called How to Design Products People Love, something like that. I don't remember the author's name. And the very first chapter of that book was this research process. And the research process, once I left that book and went more towards the source of where that research process came from, I realized it was more about what a lot of people think is, if I have a problem, if I have a pain and I've figured out how to solve it, then if I can productize that, people will want to buy it. They call it scratching your own itch, basically, which is kind of gross, but that's what they call it. And the problem there is, just because you have a problem doesn't mean everybody else has a problem, or it doesn't mean that it's a big enough problem for them that they'll pay money to solve it. Secondly, you don't necessarily know that people are going to buy the type of thing that you want to make either. So this research process is called Sales Safari. It's Amy Hoy and her partner, I think his name's Alex Hillman. They have a program for starting product businesses called 30 by 500. And their process is called Sales Safari. And the idea, the basic idea is that you go to places where your audience, people who you have knowledge overlap with, kind of hang out and talk. Because if you say, well, I'm not going to just say what are my problems, because that doesn't work. It's also really hard to ask people directly what their problems are. You know, you're a graphic designer. Hey, what's the most painful thing you have to deal with every day as a graphic designer? Maybe they'll give you something good, but more often than that, they're just going to think really hard to try and answer your question. And they're going to give you some impossible thing like, oh, I want automated brand guidelines that go to my client and answer their questions for them using AI or something. You know, like they're just going to make something up. So this idea of being where your audience is hanging out and talking, these are places like Reddit, you know, subreddits or forums or communities. And really digging through and seeing and gathering, like, what are the pain points? How are people talking about their pain points? What are the people in this community willing to spend money on? And what you learn is you can generate product ideas. You can also generate messaging because you have real life examples of how these people are communicating about their problems. And you can get insight into what they buy. They say, oh, I use this software, or I paid for this course, or I read this book. And basically that is the process. So I went through that process, but I did bring a little bit of knowing one of my own problems from the past, which was working at agencies and being like the guy who could do the logo packages the quickest, which was still like an hour of time. And so I started really looking at what people were talking about with regards to logo files. So what I discovered was that there were sort of three problems. Problem number one is newer designers did not know what logo files to provide to their clients.
Definitely. I still remember struggling and figuring out what exactly do they need? Do they need this AI? And also EP, what is that?
Right. So what are these logo file formats? What do they do? Why would a client need them? These are the questions that they have. Then you have your more experienced designers, and they say, well, I know what all that stuff is, and I know that I have to make it. So making it takes forever, and that is a pain. And then the third problem is, okay, now you have your client, and their job is to know how their business works. Their job is not to know what an EPS is, or when they should use a full color version versus the white version or whatever. So you're going to send them hundreds of logo files because you know that all of them have a purpose, but the client doesn't know what those are for. So these are the three sort of problems I found initially. And my first focus was to solve problems one and two. What files do I provide? And it takes forever to create them. So that was Logo Package Express. And the answer was simply, we'll automate the whole process for you. So if you don't know what logo files, just use the ones that we create for you. And if you know that it takes forever, be happy that now we've automated it and it happens in 3 to 5 minutes. Then fast forward a few years after that first idea, it was time to revisit the third idea, which is that clients don't really know what to do with all of these files. And the second product that I created was called Logo Package Portal. And Logo Package Portal is basically an asset management tool that's a web app. So you automatically, any of the logos that you export with Logo Package Express, you can automatically upload to an online portal and you can share the logos to your clients with a simple link. Now, at first, that doesn't seem like it solves any problems because Dropbox does that, Google Drive does it. There's still hundreds of files. What do you do? The answer is in the interface, which says, it asks two questions. What color do you want for your logo? And what are you going to use it for? And there's no other tool out there that filters things this way. So if the client says, I want a full color thing for my website, we automatically give them the right file. So that was the second solution. And then I believe, you know, you told a story about using Logo Package Swatch. And that product actually came through an entirely different research method.
And that is a new product, right? Released this year.
That's the latest product that we've created, yes.
Yes, I loved it. It was so easy for me to export all the colors because I remember, I mean, you know how it is when you have to save all the, it's not even just like the final color code. It's like all the tiny copy, paste, and then you make a mistake and then all of a sudden it doesn't work and then client comes back to you. Then you have to redo it and figure out where the mistake was and things like that. Now, how did you even create the product, like by yourself, or did you have to hire developers, or how does that even work?
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I did the research. I made my first version all on my own. Then I decided this is actually something that people want to buy. I need to make the best possible version, but I don't have that skill set. So the next thing was to hire a developer. And, you know, it's one thing to hire a web designer. It's one thing to hire somebody who can make a simple Squarespace site. It's an entirely different thing to build an extension for an Adobe product. Like even a top level front end, back end web developer is not going to know the API language that Adobe uses. So I started by trying to kind of find a specialist in that. And then in those days, you could go to the Adobe forums and they had a whole separate forum for scripting and that sort of thing. And I just kind of dug through there. And eventually I found that there was a developer who had an entire section of the forum devoted just to their process. And I got in touch with him. His name's Trevor. And he wanted to help me out, but I had a very small budget. I think I was willing to pay him $2,500 for the extension. And we started working together, just sort of lucked out that way, that he was kind of like the top guy and he was willing to do this in my budget. It soon became clear that like that budget wasn't right, but he was still willing to stick in there. So once we launched and it was a success, you know, he got more money. And then by the time we did version two, it was a completely different story. But yeah, so initially I worked with I call him primary developer on Logo Package Express. And then when we wanted to develop the portal, I knew that that was going to be a different skill set. And I kind of was thinking I might have to pay a minimum of $50,000 to build this web application. And there's no guarantee that it's only going to be $50,000. I don't know what complications are going to arise. So sort of serendipitously, I had been talking to somebody on Slack for a number of years, maybe like 2 years. They were part of a like launch your product Slack community. And it took us 2 years of talking back and forth to realize we lived in the same city. So this person, his name's Jeremy, he became my business partner. He's like a senior level designer, excuse me, senior level developer. And he basically said, I'll build it, but I want, you know, 50% of that product.
Almost like a Shark Tank.
Yeah, yeah. So I went into a business partnership in order to not have to pay for development out of pocket, but instead in interest in the company. But that company only represented the new product, which at that time was Logo Package Portal. My business partner ended up taking a full-time job. And at that point, he said, okay, my role is going to switch to I will be funding the development. I'll be paying the developer. I'll be hiring them, that sort of thing. So we worked through that, and that enters a third sort of player in the whole scheme of things, which is another developer. And then they became somebody that we relied on and eventually trained them how to build extensions as well. So that new developer that we hired in place of my business partner eventually was the one who built Logo Package Swatch, because my original primary developer who built Express was on to, you know, his own projects and that sort of thing. So it's kind of an ongoing different contractors, you know, but paying for development.
Yeah. And do you have any employees, or those are people who are your contractors?
Yeah, they are all on contract. The business partner is a different situation. We have an LLC. Yeah. So, you know, we have to pay ourselves a salary and or take distributions from the company. So,
yeah. And how do people now hear about your product?
Right. So I really was lucky to have bumped into to Ian, to have been introduced to Ian originally, because that has been my primary sort of marketing tactic, is affiliate marketing. And, you know, initially Ian was able to introduce me to some people who were also able to introduce me to some people. So getting that sort of first contact really helped. But eventually I developed my own system for reaching out to people and doing research on who has big audiences. And then eventually it even got to the point where it's like, if anybody who wants to be an affiliate, you just fill out this form. And I've gone back and forth between like really, really having personal relationships with each of my affiliates to just sort of like automating the process. And it kind of is always going back and forth. But I have tried paid advertisement, and I think that's something where you have to put a lot of money into it up front to figure out what works. And it just wasn't worth it to me. It just wasn't paying out. And I think what I have found in my situation is that having these affiliates who have large audiences helping promote things, it increases the SEO value of my site, because I have these really big popular blogs backlinking to me, that sort of thing. It puts the name of the brand out there a lot, and of the product. And eventually there's this tipping point where it starts off where these big affiliates are driving most of your sales. And then you have customers, and those customers are doing word of mouth. And then there's sort of just like the fact that it's out there. And now the organic growth through the SEO value, it switches to, okay, a majority of my sales come from organic sources versus the affiliates. So once the traffic sort of switches to being organic, you know, I also have my own lead magnet, lead generation type things. I have all of these freebies, which cater to that same problem. What file formats do I send? What does the folder structure of a logo package look like? These sorts of things. And through that, I end up being able to build my own email list. And then when I have a big launch or I have a big sale, the majority of that is coming through my email list, which I was only able to build thanks to that front-loaded help of the affiliates. So that's really how people hear about things, my affiliates and my own email marketing.
Before we continue with this podcast episode, I just want to quickly remind you that if you're a design business owner whose dream is to have a successful and profitable career so you can enjoy the freedom and flexibility that comes with it, then I have something for you. The Profitable Designer Program is my signature 12-week system that will help you improve your business, sign amazing, high-paying clients, and truly achieve your financial and lifestyle goals. Visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit to check if you can join us now or if we are currently not accepting more designers into the program. In that case, you will be able to join the waitlist and be the first to know when we open the doors again. Now, we'll go back to the episode in a second, but I just want to add that designers who completed the program were able to sign five-figure design clients, 10 times their pricing, reach six figures and beyond, make $20,000 per month while working only a few hours a week, and more. So if you want to be my next success story and achieve results like these, visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit. Now, let's go back to the episode. And do you ever think you'll go back to being a designer, or this is it?
Well, I came really close to having to make that decision this summer, because when I created Logo Package Express, there was version one, and then there was version two, and version two had improvements on version one, and it was even more successful than version one. Then came version three, which had even more improvements, but unfortunately, version three took about 2 years to develop. And during that time, I kept believing that we were very close, and then we wouldn't be. So what I didn't want to do was, I did not want to have a big sale, and I didn't want to keep bringing in new affiliates to promote my product, because if I get hundreds of new customers and then turn around and immediately say, okay, the new version's out, you have to pay to upgrade, that just wasn't the, I don't know, that's just not the brand. I didn't want to be that way. So I really let the fundamentals kind of fall apart. I wasn't adding new affiliates. I wasn't having any sales or promotions. And I was still surviving. Everything was still good. And I knew that I had this new product coming out, Logo Package Portal, and I had projected how much that was going to make. And I decided, okay, I'm going to live in a nicer apartment and I'm going to be making this much more next year. So that should be fine. Well, 2023 comes along. We have our launch at the very end of 2022 and we make a good amount of money, but a lot of that was owed back to my developer. So it really didn't kind of change much. And then sales just kind of plummeted. I don't really know if it was the sort of macro situation with the whole economy. Some of my customers I talked to, they said they were having a really hard time this summer, 2023. And now, like, it wasn't making sense for me to have this big apartment. And I couldn't pay for development of anything. If there were bugs that were coming up, I couldn't pay to have those bugs fixed. If I wanted a new product created, I couldn't pay to have that new product created. So I was stuck with a choice. I could either move into a smaller apartment and maybe hope that that was enough, but it didn't look like it was going to be, or start doing freelance work again, client work, and move into a smaller apartment to get back on track. And fortunately, the first decision, I mean, I applied. It was tough. I was applying to jobs, full-time jobs, part-time jobs, and then those talent agencies I had gone through.
So that was basically just a few months ago. I mean, let's say half a year ago.
Yeah, correct. It was around June because I had had some of the worst months in sales since I started the whole business. And at that time, when I was having those low amounts of sales, I also had freelance work. So, but fortunately, once I moved into a cheaper apartment, the business kind of picked back up. I had put a lot of work back into reaching out to new affiliates, building new relationships, and I felt confident enough that I could build a very small product and build a new revenue stream so that would cover what I was thinking I might need to make by working. But very long answer to your question, I have not done any client work since 2020. And it was really hard for me to confront the idea that I was going to have to do client work again, because my image of myself had transformed. It's not that I don't like doing design work. It's just that all of the processes and the things that I spend time on are meant to go towards this product business. And taking any of that time away to do something else, even if it would earn me money, sort of felt like a step back. So instead, we built Logo Package Swatch and had that launch. And that was building on the momentum of the summer sort of picking back up anyway. And then we just had our Black Friday sale, which is always our biggest sale of the year. And now we are in a very comfortable place to be able to either build new products or fix bugs, pay for development, that sort of stuff. So it's a happy ending, but it was pretty rough there for a couple months this summer.
Yeah. So basically, financially would help if you were to have a freelance client, at least, you know, in the summer when things were not going well. But when it comes to like your creative skills, you being as a designer, do you miss that? Do you miss opening an Illustrator and Photoshop or whatever programs you use and, you know, working with clients? Or that is not something that you would want to go back, even if we put finances to the side?
Well, yeah. So let's not forget that I still do a ton of design work. I don't have a designer for my business. I don't have writers. I don't have like, it's all me, with the exception of writing the code for these things. So anytime I need to build a new product or even the web app that I mentioned, Logo Package Portal, I have to design all of that stuff. And if I, you know, want to change my brand, I have to design that. So I'm my client now. So I don't miss doing design work because I'm still doing design work. But in addition, I'm doing a lot of other work too. And for me, graphic design was not my passion. My passion was problem solving, and I had a natural talent for aesthetics. So being able to use something that I already was good at to solve problems, which is something I was passionate about, made graphic design the career path for me. But in my current capacity as the founder of this company, I still am doing that. I'm problem solving every day, creating new systems, and I still get to use that aesthetic talent for just my own means. So I'm really happy doing what I do, and I don't miss what I used to do because I feel like what I do now is bigger. And I'm sure a lot of your students and things like that that go from like working for somebody where they're just told what to do to actually not only still designing, but making choices about how they want to run their business and get clients. I'm sure they
and
feel
who they want to work with as well.
Right. They probably don't want to go back to being told what to do and working for like a company.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just thinking if I was now to go back when I was in Las Vegas, I was working for one signs and printing company and it was so bad. Like I still remember clients coming and telling me exactly what they want on their business cards, what kind of logo we should create for them. And I was paid like between $9 and $11 per hour. And it was really bad. So yeah, I definitely see how I would not want to go back. And when you're a freelancer, you know, people who are listening to this episode now, they like, I just want to let them know that they can choose who they want to work with. That doesn't mean that, you know, for example, you said how you would not want to go back to being a designer. I think that it is amazing when you are a designer and you're still solving problems as a designer, but it's very important to know like who your ideal customer is, who your ideal client is, who you want to work with, and then go from there versus like letting and accepting like anyone and everyone who, you know, who would pay you.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, where do you see this business or where do you see yourself? I know it's a standard question in like 3 to 5 years. Like, where do you see a logo package?
Yeah. So those are the things that my, you know, business and partner and I have to talk about and agree on, which is one of the things that maybe is different between different elements of your audience. Some of them might run the whole thing themselves, and then other people might have partners. And I've done both with this business. And now all of my products are under that same LLC, and I have a business partner in that. So I have to accommodate what their vision is as well to a certain degree. And we're still discussing those things. But me personally, my vision is to take Logo Package Express and Logo Package Portal, which are currently two different offerings that are compatible with each other, and turning them into a single product. So the process now is you export your logos through one extension, then you use another extension to upload the logos, and then there's a web app for you to share those logos. I want the whole sort of thing to just be like, you set your logos and then the portal is for you or your clients. It doesn't matter. And it's all, you pay for it all at the same time, just really consolidating everything, because that's one of the hardest things to explain to new customers is what all these different products do. So basically going from logo package this and logo package that and logo package that to just kind of logo package, and you pay for one service, and it's all of these different components that we've built out. So that's good for me from a business standpoint, because at that point I could change the business model from selling multiple products to just selling one offering. But it's also good for the customers, I think, because they will now have a single source where they can access all of this information instead of maybe only having this extension or that extension.
So or that's, paying that's for the, both separately. And also, I feel like it's going to be way easier for you to explain for each product what exactly does. And also from a marketing standpoint, you'll be talking about one offer only versus all these tiny products that are, you know, separated.
Correct. Yeah. And I guess the big controversial thing about it is whether to be a subscription model or not, because my customers really, really, as designers, love that it is you pay once and then you just have it. They pay so many subscriptions. They're so fatigued from it. But the reality is that a subscription model makes more sense from a business standpoint in terms of I know exactly how many customers I have and they pay me this much a month. It's just like being on a retainer as a freelancer. It's just easier to know where the money is coming from, predict how you can spend it without, you know, going through these periods of feast and famine. But if I take that approach, it needs to make sense. And there needs to be a reason why you would feel you need to pay for a subscription, and we need to add value. So for me, the idea is we're hosting all of these projects for you. So now with Logo Package Express, currently you export your logos. And then if you need to come back and make changes in 3 months, you have to reset everything. Now it only takes like 3 minutes because that's the whole point of the product, but wouldn't it be great if you could just open up that project that you'd done 3 months ago and continue your work? But we need to store that information somewhere. And once you start storing things online for people, there's ongoing costs. And it's like, okay, that makes sense to charge people a subscription because we need value from them every month in order to provide our value. But I know that people hate subscriptions. So I believe I'll probably do a subscription-based model and a sort of project pack, where if you don't make a ton of logos, but you really want this, the access to this convenient, easy to use software, you can buy 5 projects. And if it takes you 2 years to use up those 5 projects, no problem. So I am really trying to take into account what my audience is going to want and react to. And I have yet to actually do a survey and talk to people. But of course, we're talking about a couple of years down the road. So hopefully, you know, that all comes together, and that'll be our focus before the end of this year, is trying to figure out how that's all going to work.
Okay. And how passive is your business? Because, you know, a lot of designers want to build this passive income business, or they want to add products to the side, maybe not as complex of a business or product as what you have, but maybe like digital products, which at the end of the day, it all comes to the same thing. You have to promote it, you have to show up, you have to have either affiliates or you have to invest in ads. So how passive is your passive income?
Okay. Yeah, that's sort of a misnomer, I think, you know, when people say, oh, I want to develop a passive income product. I'll say that creating that first alpha version before I had a developer took 500 hours out of my summer to build that. And that's upfront, right? And then I only got like 2 sales. but once I actually, you know, built out the affiliate network and really started, let's say, getting all my process in place, all of that requires work upfront, just like being a freelancer, having a pipeline for taking in new clients and that sort of thing. When it starts to become passive is basically right now, if I'm not working on a new product or I'm not trying to solve a big problem that my business is having, then, you know, I probably work like 3 hours a day. And I'll work every day, because what is anybody really doing on a Saturday between 8 a.m. and 11, you know, but I'll work a little bit every day. And I think a lot of listeners hearing, oh, he only works 3 hours a day, sounds pretty good. And it is passive. But when I need to have a Black Friday sale, or I need to create a new product, then we're talking, you know, could be 60, 80 hour weeks or whatever. But it's very infrequent. So my business, I have set up a lot of automations. So a lot of the like support tickets are kind of automated. Affiliate outreach and stuff like that can be automated to a certain degree. And so really, if I'm not working towards that next problem or project managing on bug fixing and that sort of stuff, then primarily all I have to do is dream up new ideas and answer support requests from customers who, you know, can't figure out how to export or something isn't working for them.
So it is
pretty passive at this point, but it definitely doesn't start out that way. And I'm 5 years into it. So.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is that, you know, you have to invest either time or money when starting a business, and then eventually you will get to the point where you will have all the freedom, either that's, you know, time freedom or financial freedom, but, you know, people will get there. Well, is there anything else that you would like to share with us? And if not, please let us know, where can people get in touch with you, or where they can, you know, connect with you, either that's Instagram, LinkedIn, any social media, your website.
Yeah, I don't think I have any big news coming up immediately, other than that we're going to start working on some bug fixes. So if people listening are customers.
I've never experienced any bugs.
Well, yeah, I think the core of our product is pretty solid. But when there's sort of these fringe use cases, we always need to, you know, figure out ways to accommodate more people's workflows. But anyway, if you have ever experienced a problem, we're working on them. But in terms of reaching out or finding me, I mean, if you want to just say hi or ask a question or something like that, honestly, emailing me, michael@logopackage.com, is really easy. I'm always responsive on email. But I do have, you know, the standard Instagram, TikTok. It's just @logopackage. I'm less active there. Those are more for me to be able to reach out to my affiliates. But I will still respond to a message, and I'll post the occasional fun video or something like that. And then the website is logopackage.com. We have a blog there as well with some good information. We have a freebies section for people who maybe don't want to invest in a product, but still want to get some resources that they can share with their clients, that sort of thing. So yeah, I think those are most of the ways that it's easy to get in contact with me.
Amazing. And I'm going to share all the links in the show notes around these episodes, just so everyone can get to you. And yeah, well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
Thanks for tuning in to the Profitable Graphic Designer podcast. But wait, before you go, if you enjoyed this podcast episode and want a chance to access one of our online courses for free, simply leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Each month, one lucky reviewer gets to pick a course as a token of our appreciation. And here's a reminder. We are here to help you build the design business of your dreams. Whether it's creating compelling proposals, attracting 10K clients, pricing your design services, improving your portfolio, reaching six figures and beyond, or helping you stand out, we've got you covered. I invite you to join over 1,000 designers in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer. Visit aventiveacademy.com/profit. And also, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. That way, you'll be the first to know when each new episode drops, so you never miss out on future content. Until next time, be sure to connect with us on Instagram at Aventive Academy, where we share valuable business tips, stories, and resources for brand, graphic, and web design business owners. Bye for now. Your host, Katie Sandell.